Willie and D-Mace, final hour of the show on this Monday. A lot going on. The Titans one day away from making the cuts. The Predators on Friday traded Yaroslav Askarov. We're going to have our thoughts on that later in the hour, but it is time to talk to TD, fresh off of the Brian Callahan press conference. Also, big news around the NFL. CeeDee Lamb has signed, and it's a mega contract for him, which is definitely going to change the bar, right? $136 million, $100 of it guaranteed, a $38 million signing bonus.
So it's essentially, it's a four-year deal, $100 million guaranteed. So you're talking $25 per year in that, but then you add in a signing bonus. I think when you look at it as a massive deal, but I think it's really not as big as what it looks like. As far as the guarantee money, it's still a big deal, but it doesn't put it, you know, because I think, what, did Jefferson get more in guaranteed money?
I don't know the answer to that. Let's bring up TD.
Yeah, he might know.
TD, give us your first impression. You see those numbers for the CeeDee Lamb deal.
No, I think it's a great deal. My first impression is the Cincinnati Bengals are up next.
Yeah, you know, but yeah,
they
that's
had,
for sure.
They had to get something done. They had to, because, you know, you can't go into a year not having your guy, especially a year when you're trying to, you know, really kind of have that, what could be the last dance with Dak Prescott. You know, Micah Parsons is going to want to get paid too. So that's something to keep in mind. But, I mean, $100 million guaranteed. You know, that's a new mark, right? Because Justin Jefferson, his was in the $88 million.
$110 million.
Oh, so his was $110 million guaranteed. TD. Justin Jefferson.
$110 million.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I remember what threw me off about that is what he got at signing. The guarantee at signing was $88 million. Yeah.
So TD, let's turn our attention to the Titans here. With Chance Campbell going down with the ACL at a position that they were already maybe a little bit thin, depth is a big question for this entire team for sure. Would you say wide receiver is the number one position that they're scouring right now for help?
Wide receiver?
No, inside linebacker.
Oh, okay. You said, would I say wide receiver is the number one? Yeah, inside linebacker. So, you know, everybody's making this to-do about, you know, trading for Ernest Jones, which it looks good, but, I mean, Otis Reese is on the roster, and that is Ernest Jones. You know what I mean? So, really, what I think they're going to do is they'll look. I mean, there are some guys that they could shake free from other places, but I think you look at the depth that they have, James Williams, right? You know, he's a guy that I think is a lock to make the roster. The Cedric Gray situation, we'll see what happens there. But I think they're going to naturally be looking for some guys. And, I mean, if you want a guy that I think could shake free, I don't know if you guys watched the Jets-Giants game, but there's a linebacker named K.J. Cloyd, man. That dude was all over the place. And he had, 16 tackles in that game. So, you know, there's an option right there.
Now, TD, what do you think they do at the tight end position? Because Will and I have been talking about this. And I said, amongst all the positions on this team, tight end, because of the competition that was in that room, I think it elevated that room that they could potentially be one of the bright spots, the continual bright spots for this team. But do you think they keep that fourth tight end? And is that fourth tight end Martin Robinson?
Yeah, I would be shocked if Martin Robinson doesn't make the roster and is the fourth tight end. That's something I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, you know. He just has come in. They knew about his athleticism. They knew he was, you know, a guy that they could use in different roles, but they didn't realize that he could block the way that he did. And that really, and that's why if you notice, Brian Callahan, he pointed to him as one of the guys that came alive when the pads went on. Yeah, that's because he was knocking people's heads, you know, and I think you saw that in games, you know, joint practices. So the tight end group overall, man, Thomas Odokoya has had a solid camp. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you know, David Robinson, Martin Robinson, DMR, he's had a better one, and he is a more athletic player. And, I mean, you even got Steve Stylianos, who quietly, you know, made some plays and has stood out at times, too. So it was a strong group. I think they keep four because you just never know. Josh Wiley has, you know, encountered some injuries in his first year and change in the league. So I would be shocked if they didn't keep four. Nick Vanette is a solid veteran, and they could use him multiple ways also.
Now, TD, tell me how did you, see this last preseason game, or how did you evaluate it? Because, listen, we knew going in that the veterans were going to play, and they were going to play a lot. And, you know, if they looked bad, obviously it would have been a talk of the town. But they didn't look bad. But I looked at it more so of the operations of the offense and how Will Levis did operating within the offense and not taking what the defense gave them and sort of running this, as he would say, not getting bored with the boring things. He didn't get bored with some of the boring things. But how did you see the offense as a whole? Because they were playing against the second and third unit.
Yeah, they were playing against the second and third unit. That's correct. But I'll say this. You always are going to help the offensive line when you stay out of that, you know, don't get penalties on third down, right, and make it third in all of Louisiana. You know, and that helped an awful lot. So you do have that. And then operation-wise, I mean, you saw some of the play calls kind of develop. I mean, you look at that route combination with where Calvin Ridley had the deep catch across the middle. You know, you had that arrow route from Tyler Boyd clearing it out. You know what I mean? And then you look at the Tyler Boyd's deep catch on the outbreaking route. You had Treylon Burks, you know, clearing it out. And everybody talks about Treylon Burks. Oh, he didn't have an impact. He didn't catch a pass. You can impact the game by dictating coverage and opening it up for somebody else. And that's what he did on that play. I think that's the thing that stood out to me. You saw them in the screen game. You saw actually stuff be teamed up and guys getting open, not necessarily because of their premier route running, but because of the scheme. I thought that was really interesting. And then the timing allowed us to be able to hit those guys. That's something that stood out to me.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport, talking Tennessee Titans in our last preseason game. They're off for 2 weeks until their season opener versus the Chicago Bears. Now, TD, I may be a little bit worried about the secondary. Obviously, I'm not talking about the starting unit because, you know, those guys were not out there. But the depth behind them, and it's young depth too. They didn't look as well in the game. New Orleans were able to pass the ball, it seemed, at will at times. So that part I am worried about. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, these are guys that probably won't see the field. But one of them, Jarvis Bradley Jr., he had a tough game.
Yeah, he did.
And you're not always going to be perfect, right? So you got to acknowledge that. But he did. He had a tough game. And I think this is part of the reason why they're nursing Chidobe Awuzie so much, why they're nursing, you know, and managing LeJarius Sneed. You know, Roger McCreary, he's just tough. Like, he's going to be there. You know what I mean? You just know he's going to be there. You know, but after that, I mean, you look at your Trey Avery's, you look at your Gabe Judy-Lally, who had an outstanding mini camp, but training camp, you kind of came back down to earth. So now you are stuck in a position where you don't necessarily have a lot of depth there. And that is something where they're going to have to pray that everybody stays healthy.
We know how that goes in the NFL. It is not easy to keep everybody healthy. You're going to have issues. Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, that first defensive series, what an unbelievable series of four plays by T. Sweat, right? And we still have not seen him in a real game situation playing next to Jeffrey Simmons. I still get very excited thinking about that, and I'm asking myself, is this real? But you think about all of the major questions that people had about him from the draft all the way through the summer. Man, it's almost like, I mean, contrast that to where we are now. And now there's like high expectations for Devondre Sweat, I think.
Yep. I tell you what, if I'm Lloyd Cushenberry, Peter Skoronski, and Dylan Raiden, like, everybody's happy that camp's over, But if I'm them, I'm especially happy because I'm not having to go against, you know, Sweat and Simmons in practice every day anymore. And I'll say this. I talked to Tavondre Sweat after the game yesterday, just, you know, on the side. And I want to bring it to everybody's attention on the air. All this talk about attitude, all this talk about off the field, all this talk about laziness, dedication, overweight, out of shape. Guess what we haven't heard one thing about?
Not one thing.
All of training camp. Not a single thing. The guy has been Jesus of rookie prospects. You know what I mean? He's been flawless, essentially, just from that perspective. And I think that needs to be highlighted because everybody had a lot to say when he was coming in and all this stuff was being, you know, thrown on his name. So I commend him for that. But then the play itself, I mean, look, he's doing exactly what you want him to do, right? You get the third down pressure. You clog things up against the run. It's going to be fun watching those two wreck shop. And don't forget about Sebastian Joseph Day, who is a solid player in his own right. So it's going to be that front. It's going to be very, very tough for teams.
I saw Jalen Harrell again making some plays. He drew a holding call. He consistently has a pretty good push from the edge there. What's your expectation level for him? Now, because it's one thing to be the guy that impresses in camp. It's another thing to be a guy that makes impact when the season starts.
Yeah, my expectation is to be in the rotation. My expectation is to be a special teams player as well. Last year, Caleb Murphy had a pretty good camp, you know, and stood out. So this isn't something we haven't seen before, but I don't really expect to see much of an impact from him actually on the defensive side of things. I think that really comes down to Landry and Key, but he'll definitely be in the rotation.
Okay, I'll ask you the same question about Jaquan Jackson because he really flashes. When he gets the ball, he's got that acceleration, he's got that change of direction. He receives the ball well, not only as a kick returner, but when you see him make a catch as a wide receiver, he looks different than a lot of guys. So what do you think? Is it time to get excited about him?
Yeah, I wouldn't really expect to see much from him on offense, but in the return side of things, yeah, I would be excited. And one of the things that I think has kind of gone under the radar is even in practice, I haven't seen him drop any punts. You know, and he had a bit of an issue handling things at times at Tulane. And Cole Anderson said that they've worked on that, and he's just done a really good job with it. So you do have that. I got to talk to his parents before the game. Yesterday, I went up to it. I just said, you know, I need to know like where this young old man came from because he is an old soul, and I like that about him, and that has allowed him just to kind of come in and be able to find his role, and things clicked in that Seattle, or rather the punt return he had, and he's been off and running since, and you know he's a big Derek Mason fan by the way too.
TD, the starting quarterback, and you know, back to Jackson for a second before we talk about Malik Willis. Yeah, tell him my dance moves are on point, man. Them dance moves are on point, okay?
But is he aware that Derek Mason said he reminds me of myself?
Oh yeah, that's how
okay,
the whole thing
good.
Started. That's how I talked to him after practice last week. And, you know, he didn't really have a full grasp. So I said, hey, listen, man, this guy, he's the best receiver to ever wear a Titans jersey. You got to understand that. You know, so I shot him the highlights to watch. And he came back and he was like, yeah, that dude, he is the truth. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, Malik Willis, obviously, you know, the whole thing with Malik, I believe, is his development. Has he developed? Is he seeing the field much different than what he did last season? And what I can honestly say, looking back to his first season and now, he's a different quarterback. He's seeing things a little bit different. His feet are not as antsy as they once were. Now, he's still looking to get out there at times, but he's also looking down the field trying to deliver the ball. Has he done enough to warrant that third quarterback spot? And do you think they keep a third quarterback?
I think just that developmental intrigue that he has is going to keep him on there. You know, Mason Rudolph is here on a one-year deal. I wouldn't be opposed to bringing him back next year, to tell you the truth. But, you know, if they don't, you know, having Malik there to kind of move right into that role would be good for them. So I think he does come back. And then not to mention, you look like when they played the Eagles, right? You know, he was Jalen Hurts for the week. That does have some value as well, you know. So I think they do put him on there. Three quarterbacks, four tight ends, you know what I mean? And they'll end up having to go a little bit more shallow at another position. But I think Willis is better than, you know, maybe the seventh receiver or the sixth safety, maybe even the fifth safety, you know?
So if you had to put a percentage on it, what's the percentage chance that he's on the 53, Malik Willis?
I mean, I'll play along. I would say, what, 60%?
So you think it's a decision, though? 60-40 is still people in the room saying maybe we could slide him to the practice squad, because that's the that's the decision.
Yeah, because you're going to have Cole Anderson banging the table, you know, saying, hey, man, Hassan Haskins, you know. Mm-hmm. You're going to have Steve Jackson banging the table and saying, hey, man, Matthew Jackson, Mike Brown, Shai Carter. You know, that's what you're going to have. Bill Callahan and as much impact as he has. Okay, Jerron Christian, you know, Lechavius Simmons. You're going to have that.
Now, do you think there was true competition on that right side? Because I just
– We're talking offensive line.
And because I look at it, and I get it. You know, Brian Callahan say, listen, this has been trending this way for the last couple of weeks. And I get all of that. But to me, there was really never truly like a competition battle, because when Nicholas Petit-Frere came back, they inserted him in the lineup. And Rayton's been there. So to me, if you look at the bodies that were behind them, they really didn't push him. At least that's my belief.
Yeah. Well, look, they wanted Sadiq Charles to start at right guard, and they wanted MPF, Nicholas Petit-Frere, to start at right tackle. Right? And they wanted the power of Sadiq Charles. We know what happened there. He retired, boom. Okay, so now Dylan Raiders, you know, gets inserted into the position. Andrew Rupchich pushed a little bit, but, you know, they just more or less settled on, okay, this is the direction they wanted. But I don't think it was a true competition. I think John Ajukwu in camp, you know, just kind of, he played himself out of it, frankly, right? And then I think Jalen Duncan is Jalen Duncan. I'll be nice with that. It is what it is, you know, and it just worked that way to where, you know, those are the guys that are on top of the depth chart.
All right, Teron, finish with this. I think you are as aware as anybody, because you, writing for ESPN, you guys do a lot of collaboration, and there's predictions and things like that. I cannot find a single prediction that has the Titans in the playoffs from the outside. But I see a team that I think does look for a first-year coach, a young first-year coach, young quarterback. They look like a team. They look like they have some pretty good chemistry. They feel pretty good. You hear it coming out of their locker room. So they have the opportunity, I think, to sneak up on some people. But how optimistic are you that they could overachieve?
Yeah, this league wants parity, right? It wants parity. So things are set up, you know, for that. And the other thing you got to remember, the Titans spent $318 million in total money this offseason, right? The last eight teams that led the offseason in guaranteed money, only two of them didn't go to the playoffs, right? So that lets you know. This team, I think 8-9 wins is a reasonable expectation for this team. And with how this division seems like it's going to go, that's enough to at the very least be competitive, right? And there you have it right there.
Okay.
And with the talent on the roster, I think they definitely can, you know, the potential for 10 to 11. Now, don't mark me and say, hey, TD says the Titans will win 10 or 11 games. But things can shift that way with a little ball bouncing a different way here, bouncing that way there.
That's the beauty of the NFL. Teron, great stuff. We'll talk to you after the cuts have been made, and we'll see who the 53 are.
No doubt about it. Francisco Lindor, MVP. MVP.
I like the sound of that. Man, I was so. They should have brought Edwin Diaz in to start the eighth yesterday, Teron. He was fresh. I'm still not very happy about that.
The conversation was going well until that point.
I know, but Lindor is the man, no question about it. Teron, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, peace.
All right, that's TD. Teron Davenport. Listen to Talking with TD, the podcast. You can hear him throughout the week on our station. And, of course, read his stuff on ESPN.com. When we come back, we're going to shift gears. We'll get our interpretation, our analysis of the Yaroslav Askarov trade. The drama, the saga is over. And what is the fallout? We won't know for about 5 years is what it amounts to. But did they get good value? Why did they do it now? We'll talk about it when we come back. Stay tuned. This is Willie and D. Mace, 102.5 The Game.